Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 298 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for the week of Wednesday, July 6th, 2016. I am your host, Mark Cudenez, and it's crazy, two away from 300. What am I going to do for 300? Absolutely nothing, other than record this podcast. But other than that, I'm not going to do anything too crazy. But yeah, it's been a week. I was nothing, but I had a great time getting to see a friend of mine for the first time in way too long, Alex, and also Gabe, over at a local bar arcade. You could call it a barcade, I guess. The Logan Arcade. Barcade. I don't know what it's called. I think it's the Logan Arcade. Either way, spent some time there, played some games, chatted, talked about this and that. It was nice. It reminded me of how much I miss him, and hopefully it won't be so long until I get to see him again. Played some games there. I played, not Burger Time, Food Fight, which I only played for the first time the last time I was there. And I kind of like that game. I don't know why. Because it's kind of stupid. And it's pretty ugly. And it's really weird and kind of disturbing when your little guy eats the thing and its head balloons and just like, ooh, this is weird. Then I played some Bust a Move, which I will always play. I love that game. And I did pretty damn good on one quarter. That game can get super tense. I was really freaking out. I had some close calls, but did pretty good. I played one thing of Rampage, and that was kind of depressing because I remember loving Rampage. I think I even mentioned it when I was talking about arcade cabinets a few episodes ago. Man, does that game not hold up. It was not fun at all. I was super depressed when I started. Like, I was already ready to stop the second I started playing. I'm like, this isn't really fun. This is depressing. Then I played some Ms. Pac-Man, of course, because Ms. Pac-Man is Ms. Pac-Man, and that's just the bee's knees, and I had a blast with that. I played I thought I was playing Galaga, but I was playing, like, Galaga Evolved or some weird thing that I didn't realize it when I put in my quarter, and I was like, this is not good. I don't like this. I want to play the original man. And I think that's all I ended up playing. I didn't get around to too much because I don't know. There's certain arcade games that, because I got there early, didn't want to play. So there's certain games I don't want to play just by myself. Like, they have Turtles in Time. They have The Simpsons game, they have X-Men, but playing that by yourself just isn't the same. They have some fighters too, like Mortal Kombat 2, which this one rather pretty lady was playing over and over again. She would go to something else, but then she would always come back to Mortal Kombat 2. And then, of course, they have stuff like NBA Jam, which I like NBA Jam, but I don't really want to play it because I know that's going to cost $1. It's a quarter per quarter. Get it? Quarter per quarter. That makes sense. Not a token per quarter. Quarter per quarter, quarter per quarter. I don't know why I find that so amusing, but I do. But yeah, I don't see the point in doing all that. And for me, with the one thing I don't like about this particular arcade, I don't know if they're all this way, or like, I'm not sure how cabinets work in keeping their data, but they don't keep their high scores, or at least they reset them fairly frequently, because I had a high score on Food Fight when I last went there, and it should still be up there because the things are rather crappy, the scores to go there, but who knows. I can check again because I got the number one score this last time I was there. But yeah, that was nice. I really liked getting to see him again. And I was sad that I wasn't able to hang out with them on the 4th when... Or was it the 4th or was it... The 4th was Monday, so it was the 3rd. I don't know. On Sunday, this past Sunday, when they played some of that Star Wars board game that is based off of the Dungeon game. not the one that's all about ship combat, but the one that's like dungeon crawling, but with the Star Wars characters in the Star Wars universe. But yeah, that was nice. Then I actually played some of my Wii U, and I played New Super Mario. This should all be in the video game section, but this stuff is all like not important really. I just played a little bit of New Super Mario Brothers Wii U with my father for the first time, and he's a bit of a maniac. He's got two personalities. He'll either be very, very slow and just like very hesitant, or he will just go crazy, jumping all over the place. And I'm losing my mind. I'm like, just stop. Like, there'll be these moving platforms that he has to jump on. I'm like, no, wait till it comes back to you. And he's just going crazy. And he just barely makes it most of the time. Sometimes he dies, but he'll often just barely make it. I'm like, oh God, getting a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack every time. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't take this. It's going crazy. But he was enjoying it. I was enjoying it. I'm not sure if you can pick up each other in the Wii U one. I couldn't find a button that was letting me do it unless I have to have a certain power-up. But I really wanted to pick him up and throw him around, and I couldn't. And that was kind of sad. But, you know, there could be a certain way to do that, and I didn't look at the controls or anything. We just ran it. You know, we were just like, okay, what's move? We all know what move is. It's the D-pad. What's jump? Okay, the other one's whatever power when you get a thing. But that was a good time as well. I don't know. It's been a week since the last show, like it always is. So let's just get on with the rest of the show, huh? Okay. It's been a really good week, anime-wise and manga-wise. I've watched some stuff that I've really enjoyed. I binged ReLife, which I ended up really liking. I just started a new show, which I'm really liking. Food Wars is back, which is always good. And, I'm all caught up with the Bokura wa Minakawa Isu, otherwise known as... whatever, the Kawaii Complex Guide to Hostile Living and Craziness. I'll never remember the name of that book and show, but I love it. I'm all caught up to the 72nd chapter on Crunchyroll app, which is as far as it's gotten in terms of the localization. I think it's up to 76 over in Japan, so I'm just dying to... get more of it. It's really sad now that I'm all caught up because it was a hell of a journey and there was a bit of a bumpy road in the middle, not in terms of the quality, but just in the lives of these characters. I'm so invested. It makes me even sadder that there wasn't a second season and there very likely never will be. I was watching some of the anime again on Hulu and I was sad because... it's only available on DVD, and I think it's because there doesn't seem to be a high-definition version of it on Hulu. At least it seems like it's basically in SD, and that's sad as well. But I love the anime. I love the book. It really is one of my favorites, really. I've come to appreciate it a lot more. The more I watch, the more I appreciate it. And the book is really great. The only problem with the book, the manga, is that when the characters are describing books, like Rita and, why can't I think of his name, the main guy, they often just refer to books as, oh, that's very interesting, or that's funny. That's like, they don't have that many ways of describing books, which is kind of sad, especially for Rita-chan, who is such a book connoisseur that you'd expect her to have more words, even though she's very quiet and doesn't say much. You know, you'd think maybe all the books she's read that maybe her vocabulary is a little better than, oh yeah, that is interesting. That is funny. But I'm loving that. Anyway, let's just get on to what I've been watching and talk a little bit about it. So I'll start off with ReLife, which is a bit odd in that it's a new show, but Crunchyroll released all of it all at once. And I think this is the first time they've ever done that with a brand new show. It's sort of like the Netflix model or a lot of streaming service models where they just put everything out there right at once instead of doing a weekly release. And I don't know how I feel about it. I know that I'm glad they did it with Real Life because I really liked it. But at the same time, I think if this started happening more and more, it would be easy for the shows that do get dumped in a complete batch to be put into people's backlogs so that they just are like, okay, I could watch all of this right now, but then I'm going to fall behind on the current shows running weekly, depending on how much time they have each week to watch anime. So they might just say, well, I'll just put this on my backlog with the other complete shows that I have yet to get to. So I think there's a potential danger of that, but at the same time, I could be overthinking it, because when stuff like this is released, like when a series is released on Netflix complete, people binge the hell out of it. But at the same time, well, I mean, they have like other shows from other networks that they could also watch, but there's not as much content on Netflix at any given time as there is on, say, Crunchyroll or Funimation, etc. But I was really surprised by Real Life. It was one of the shows I was actually looking forward to a lot, but I didn't know if it was actually going to be good or not, especially after this last season that was really disappointing. I'll give you a quick synopsis from my anime list. The story follows Kazuki Arata, a 27-year-old jobless man who fails at every job interview he had after quitting his last company. His life changes after he met Yokerio of the Real Life Research Institute, who offered him a drug that can change his appearance to 17-year-old. There's a missing word in there. And to become a subject in an experiment for 1 year. Thus, he begins his life as a high school student once more. So it starts off, and this guy just kind of can't get a job. He's working at a convenience store. Runs into this guy who offers him. He also gets a call from his like mother. He's like, you know, we're not going to help you with rent or anything this month. He's like, what? Meets this guy in the alley who's like, we'll give you this. You'd be part of this research experiment for a year. Give you, you know, pay for your room and your food and all that stuff for the year. And then after the year is over, you will be given the opportunity to get a job at our company. And he's like, oh, okay. And he gets this pill that reverts him back to his old self. But at the same time, his body is still the body of a 27-year-old, not in that it looks like a 27-year-old's body, but that he hasn't really been exercising, hasn't been staying in shape. You know, he's been smoking for years, and all these things, all of those things carry over. He doesn't lose that. He doesn't suddenly become like Tobey Maguire in the first Spider-Man. He's suddenly got a six-pack, and he's just ready to go crazy everywhere. So that's kind of an interesting thing about it, but I think it did a really good job of handling the various relationships and filling the show with characters who are all fairly likable. My nose is itching like crazy, and I'm trying to scratch it without touching the microphone. And there are moments where it's a bit too over-dramatic, but for the most part, it's handled really well. I got really invested in all these characters. There's a lot of things that come into fruition, and I enjoyed watching these characters grow and seeing how Kazuki acted now that he's going through high school life again. I think there are some weird things about the story. The way his work that he quit from handled their business and acted seemed a bit too exaggerated and over the top. Maybe there are companies like that, but to have everyone essentially in the company be such terrible people, that was kind of weird, and I didn't feel like that felt, it didn't feel that real. There's also the fact that Kazuki, another part about him returning to school is that he hasn't been studying or keeping up with, you know, math and all these different subjects. He fails his
I don't know if there were his entrance exams at first, or like the first test of the year, and he has to keep doing makeups all year round. I think it's a bit weird that he studies constantly for these tests and he keeps failing them. I don't understand how he can't pick it up. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to get the point across that he is in many ways just literally stupid, or if they just think it's kind of a funny thing to have in there that he keeps failing and having to redo it. But I really liked it. I don't want to say too much about it because it is new and all out there. But it's definitely worth checking out. It has a lot of stuff going on in it. A lot of good characters. It's not too shabby looking. And I think it ends... The end is solid in that it didn't leave me dissatisfied or like I needed more, but it left me wanting more and excited for more if there happens to be more, but it didn't leave me feeling like I was left unsatisfied and like there was like no game no life that just left me dying for more and feeling like, well, you can't end it here because you're literally just saying this is only the beginning and the real battle starts now, but we'll never show it to you. But yeah, Real Life is a quality show and definitely worth checking out. It's made me hopeful that the rest of the season will be full of other great shows. Because I think Flying Witch is a very different type of bird. But I think I put this above Flying Witch. It's hard because I get Flying... I don't know what I get Flying Witch. But I have this Real Life currently at an 8. And I might bump up to a 9. I don't want to be too overly fond of it right off the bat, having just consumed it. But I really like it. And it may already put this season above the last season. And I mean, there's also Food Wars, which I should just jump into right now. Just saw the first episode. That's all that's out there. And it's good. It's really good. It's just that what I'm kind of realizing right now is that Food Wars is kind of like comfort food. It's like Chinese for me. It doesn't have a whole bunch of variety, but it's always great. It always makes me feel good. But this episode didn't have anything too crazy going on. It just felt like a continuation. It felt like, okay, we're back here, we're back home, this is good. I'm glad, I'm happy to be here, but I'm not blown away. I didn't have like a huge laugh or anything too crazy or too memorable. It just was like, okay, these two cooks, these two students battled against each other, and yeah, one came out the winner. Guess who? Soma, of course. But it was good. I'm looking forward to more. My only concern is that it is a shorter season. It's 13 episodes. And my concern is that every single episode is just going to be a battle between two different students. I hope that's not the case, because I don't think they can fill each episode with that, but maybe they couldn't. Maybe they'd run out. I just hope there are, not to say filler episodes in between, but I do enjoy when they're working together or they're doing other stuff at home, or when they're not just devoting an entire episode to two characters battling each other, because I like to have that off time too, where I get to spend more time with the characters and less time with the food and all that. But it's back, and that's great. Can't wait for more. And then the last show of the current season that I started so far is Orange, which is interesting because I actually started reading the manga too. And the reason why I started reading the manga is not because the show was coming out this season. It was because I was looking for something that wasn't still ongoing, like Inside Mari and Kawaii Complex. And I wanted something short that I could consume in a relatively short period of time. And Orange is only 22 chapters. There are 5 extra chapters that aren't part of the main story. So I started reading that. I'm halfway through. And it's also interesting because this is the first time I've ever read a manga first and then watched the series. And that's definitely very different. But just talking about the manga first, I like it, but I'm liking it less and less. I think the premise is interesting. And I will give you the synopsis from my anime list, as I like to do, because I like my anime list. One morning, Naho Takamiya receives a letter in the mail claiming to be from herself 10 years in the future. The letter reveals a series of events that are supposed to take place that day. At first, Naho thinks it's just a prank, but when the letter mentions a transfer student named Kakeru Naruse, who really ends up transferring into her class later that day, she is forced to believe it's con in its contents. As Naho continues to read the letter, her future self mentions several regrets, urging Naho to take the right decisions now. Somehow, these regrets all seem to be connected to Kakeru, and with the burden of the knowledge that the boy wouldn't be with her and her friends in the future, will Naho be able to make the perfect choices that will alter what seems to be fate? So it's all about this girl getting a letter from herself in the future, telling her about all the things that happen over the course of her life, in the past, and the things that happened, the decisions she made originally, and the decisions she wants her younger self to make to hopefully change the future. And that's interesting. And they go into it a little deeper a bit later on. And I kind of like the art. My biggest problem is that I don't really like Naho or Kakeru. I think I can accept Kakeru more in his personality because of what happened to him and everything. But I think Naho is just an incredibly spineless, boring character who I can't root for and I don't like because she can't do anything on her own and she's too much of a chicken to do anything. She's always overthinking everything, and it drives me insane, because I'm sure this has been in other stuff I've read and watched, because I feel like I've seen it, but I don't think anything has been as bad as this in terms of Naho loves Kakeru. She falls in love with him. He loves her too. She's too. This is just one of the things of the manga, and that I sure will be in the anime as well, because it is a pretty faithful adaptation. I'll get to that shortly. But Kakeru, at a certain point, does declare his love for her, and she's unable to reply at first, and it takes her a while to actually reply. And I think when she does, when she did, it was kind of forced out of her out of fear or something, but she was too scared to tell him that she loved him too, because she didn't know what he would think of that, that he would like run away or be scared. Like, all these stupid, like, he declared his love for you. What do you think he doesn't want to hear that you love him too? You think he's going to be like, oh, you love me too? That's terrible. You think he's gonna run away because you tell him you love him too? He loves you. He wants to be loved by you, I'm sure. Why are you so hesitant to tell him? Why can't you just tell him? Well, like, why are you questioning it so friggin' much? It's stupid in my opinion. It drives me nuts. I don't like Naho, and that's my biggest problem with it. Her being the main character, pretty much. I just can't stand her. I do like some of the other characters, who don't get as much, not screw up paper time, and I don't know how much screen time they'll get, but like, I really, really like her friend Taka, because there is this incredibly bitchy, I don't know if she's a second year, she's a year above, Naho and her group of friends, but she went out with Kakeru for a little bit, and then they broke up, and she was just very, very bitchy and like took it super personally, and it was like, my God, you're horrible. But when she was picking on Naho for, I don't remember if it was during the festival or something, but when she was picking on her, Taka came to her rescue, and also her other friend, I don't remember her name. But they both butted in, like, what are you doing? What are you messing with our friend? And she's like, it's none of your business. Well, she's our friend, so it is our business. And she didn't do anything wrong, etc. And she's just mouthing off this second year, and then Taka just slaps the hell out of her. And it was amazing. That was like the best part of the manga so far. And I cannot wait for that to be in the anime because that was the most satisfying part. I was cheering internally in my seat when I was reading. I was like, yeah! I was like, come on. I was like, because the conversation was escalating, and I was just like, come on, come on. Oh yeah, Taka, I love you. I love Taka because she is a strong character. She has a backbone. She's got her friends back. She is not afraid to slap a bitch. I love her. I wish it was about her because she's great. So yeah, and just moving on to the anime. There's only been one episode so far. But it's a really, really faithful adaptation so far, and I think it's actually better than the manga in getting across the vibe of the group, their friendliness and all that. So I think the anime has a potential to be a better version of the manga because it breathes more life into it. Because the manga does feel slightly lifeless, in part because it does follow Naho, who is a very bland character who isn't that likable, and the anime gives a bit more time to everyone. It just feels like there's more life in it. And it seems like, I don't know how many episodes there are going to be in the anime, but there are 22 chapters in the main story, and they're all handled as letters. The first episode is called Letter One. So if they do what they've been doing so far in the anime, then it could easily be turned into, okay, I just checked, now it's officially 13 episodes, which is weird. I don't know. I feel like then they're gonna try and condense it all into one season. So I'm not sure how that's gonna go, but I think it would make sense for it to be broken up into two parts, a single season, or just call it two seasons and have 11 episodes and 11 episodes. But it's gonna be 13 episodes this season, and I'm wondering because it's weird because whatever, whatever. I'm looking forward to watching more because I think the anime is gonna be a better version of the story than the manga. And then other than those shows, I did catch up on some shorts. The two I'm gonna talk about very briefly is Oji-san to Marshmallow, which is about this big dude who really, really loves these marshmallows. And it's a silly show. It's kind of enjoyable, but it's just ridiculous. My favorite thing about it really is how Yori is constantly trying to make situations sexual and is trying to have Oji-san realize that she likes him a lot, and it's kind of cute and sweet. But there's not that much there because it is a short. It's a shorty short, so it's 3 minutes per episode. And then I watched Uchu Patrol Luluko, otherwise known as Space Patrol Luluko, which is probably the most prominent short of last season. It's from Trigger, the most notable studio for Kill la Kill, and then they also had Knives this last season. I really didn't like Luluko, and a lot of people do, and I was kind of confident that I probably wouldn't end up liking it because what it was described as and what it really is basically taking all of the Mako bits from Kill la Kill and putting them into a short, that kind of vibe and kookiness. And it just wasn't that interesting to me. I didn't think a lot of the humor worked, and I didn't think there was much of a story that I could follow and that made sense. And I just didn't care about it other than, oh, it sometimes looked pretty in the animation I dug, which Trigger can do. I really love the animation in Kill la Kill and in Knives as well. So In terms of animation, I think Trigger always does interesting stuff, but I just thought Luluco was a bit too crazy with no direction and just like, here, let's do a bunch of kooky stuff and have absolutely no direction at all that anyone can follow or care to follow. And also, I always get kind of annoyed when these shorts, it's a 7-minute short, when they have long openings or end credits. I think the opening's only about 30 seconds, but the end credit is a minute and a half, like a regular show. So I'm like, they're wasting a minute and a half on freaking end credits. So that drove me nuts. But yeah, that's all the anime and manga I've been watching and reading this past week. But it's been pretty good overall. And I'm looking forward to watching more. Hopefully, I can stay on this good train. I forgot to even mention this. And I did finish Kabaneri. That is whatever. Very, very pretty. I don't know if there's anything else other than that. It's super pretty, and the story is okay. I don't know how parallel it is to Attack on Titan because I still haven't watched that because I thought it looked too ugly. But I might check it out to see. But yeah, not bad. It's super pretty. Super pretty. And if you want to watch something that's super pretty, definitely check it out. Been a fairly not exciting week in terms of games. I haven't played anything too big, but I'm not really sure if anything too big has come out this past week. Not that I can remember, at least not to retail, maybe some indie games. Of course, Inside came out kind of with, I don't want to say no fanfare, but not a lot of promotion from Microsoft at least. And some people say it's because what are the names of the studio? But the creators of Inside wanted it to be kind of a organic growth and release like Limbo, where it's more word of mouth than anything else. But I don't know how well that's working. A lot of people love it, but I don't hear that many people talking about it other than critics and some friends. I hope it's doing well. I haven't bought it though. In part because I look at that and then I also see these various sales going on. I'm like, well, I think I'd rather spend the same amount to get three games or however many games while they're on sale than just one game. And I have to say, as much as I poo-poo on PlayStation, I definitely prefer the Xbox platform. I prefer the OS. I prefer the controller. I prefer the exclusives. Sony just kills it all the time with their sales. PlayStation Plus versus Xbox Live Gold, the free games these days are kind of meh on both sides. They'll have some quality games here and there, and it's always nice when you see new games like. Right now, Xbox One has the Banner Saga 2, and PlayStation 4 has Fury. I haven't played Banner Saga 2, but I'm assuming that's probably a pretty good game. The first one was quite beloved. But I've played Fury. I'll be talking about that a little bit more. I went back to it, but I think I'm already done. That's one of the free games. It's regularly $25, which I would never, ever be caught dead paying that much for it. But that's not a great game, though. Plenty of people do like it. I think it's really, really not great. But of course, it's free for PlayStation Plus members, so there's no reason not to try it yourself, and there's a good chance you'd like it. But when it comes to the sales, PlayStation just kills it. Their 2-week, whatever they're calling it, their sale, is so much better than Microsoft's because they have games that have been. As much as I think 90% off, I picked up some of those Hyper Dementia, whatever RPGs for the Vita because they were like $3 and $4.
I'm like, you know what? I was thinking about just waiting to get physical copies, but $3 and $4 for these? Yes. I still need to actually get around to playing my Vita. The problem with the Vita is that I'm not great with the memory management and the content. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't delete this, even though I've never played it. 'Cause what if I wanted to play it? I shouldn't delete this one because I played it like a year ago and I liked it. Maybe I'll get back to it eventually. But that's stupid on my part. Anyway, yeah, PlayStation just always kills it in their weekly sales. They're usually better, and whenever they have big sales, they destroy Microsoft. Microsoft's Ultimate Game Sale summer thing, it's okay. There are some good deals in there, but compared to PlayStation, it's a joke. It's just a joke. But yeah, one game, no. I was gonna think if there was something I could recommend from the current Microsoft one, but I can't think of something that. Well, there are some that are not on sale for the biggest amount, like is it the Flame in the Flood? I really like that game. Would recommend checking that out. I don't know. It's just a bunch of. There's so many currencies. That's like a third of what the huge sale is. Like, we're gonna have over 160 things on sale, and like 60 of them or something. Like, here's DC Universe currency, here's Neverwinter currency, here's Call of Duty currency, which just seems really stupid. But whatever, none of that's important. So what I've been playing, not really Gems of War anymore. I've officially retired from Gems of War. I know it's crazy, but the latest update kind of screwed it up for me, in that one of the reasons I was still addicted to playing and always playing was because there was always a carrot so close. There's just like, once I finished a carrot, there's a brand new one, because they had these daily challenges, and when you completed them, they'd clear, you'd get your reward, and then a new one would show up. And now, when you clear a daily reward, it shows up as cleared, you get your reward, and it says come back tomorrow for new content. And that just means if I was to keep playing, I would get to that point and then I would see no real reason to keep going, because I need that carrot, and like leveling up or stuff like that isn't that important. Increasing my guild level and all that hasn't been important for a long time, because we've been at max level for months. I don't even know. It could be a year at this point, whatever. But when I realized that I wasn't a fan of the beta, I just used up all my keys to get a whole bunch of cards and maxed out one card so that I could get the final achievement I didn't have, and now I'm not playing it. I'm still loading it up once a day just to get my daily reward. But other than that, I'm pretty much done with it, and I'll probably stop doing that at some point, because there's nothing in it for me anymore. I'm not enjoying it. Just in the same way that Fairway Solitaire lost me. I've given some money to them because I got a hell of a lot of fun out of it, and I'm so thankful in a way to have had such an amount of joy from a game that was free to play and was really well done, and they've really done a great job of supporting it. The update is substantial. They've done some good things, but like, just for me personally, that little change really bothered me, so I quit. But for a lot of people, I'm sure they're like, oh, there's all these new things now, and good on them for keeping it up to date and keeping people wanting to play. I'm not sure what the user base is, but I really like it. Even though I'm not playing anymore, it's a solid game and definitely something people should check out if they haven't. But what I have been playing is the Magic Circle Gold Edition on Xbox One. And I went back, finished it, and I really did enjoy it overall, but mostly for the story. I had a lot of fun with the story, the way it is kind of like commentary on game creation and all that, which is sort of popular among indie games these days. They have a kind of meta narrative, and I thought it was really well done. It was interesting. It was funny at times. It was very, very well acted. I'm kind of surprised by that because when it comes to indies, as well made as a lot of them are, when it comes to voice acting, it's not always the best because it's not that easy to find good voice acting that isn't super expensive. But all of the three main actors, I think there were four because you have the guy who's helping you, and then there's Ish, Maze, and I forget what the other character, the other coder, programmer, designer's name is, but you have all of these four characters doing great voice work, and there's another person I think who might do like little voice memos. That's a different person. All of them well done, and I really enjoyed all that. The ending was very talky. There wasn't a lot of interaction, which got kind of annoying, but it was fun to see how everything played out. I loved the very end when the guy was just begging me to kill the feed and all this stuff. That was fun. And now it's open up so that I can go back and play the game and just clear up things and stuff. But the problem I have with the game is the game itself, in that I think this game, having not played on PC, plays way, way, way better with mouse and keyboard because so much of it revolves around going into creatures. So you have your ability to put down these little kind of traps that will freeze, it will lock up an enemy, a creature, or a certain objects in the world, and then you can edit them and give them characteristics. You can make them able to move on the ground or fly or float. They can attack with certain abilities. They can find certain other characters, enemies, or friends, vice versa, and a few other details, so whether you can pick them up or not. And you do all this through an in-game menu. And it's not an in-game menu you navigate with the analog sticks or the D-pad. You navigate it by moving the on-screen cursor over them. And if I was using a mouse, it would be really, really quick and super responsive. But when I'm using the analog stick to move, it's not as fluid as it would be with a mouse, and it becomes tedious, and it doesn't make it unplayable by any stretch of the imagination, but it does make it a lot more tedious than I think it would be with mouse and keyboard. And I would highly recommend anyone who's interested in the game, because I don't want to talk too much about the story because it is the highlight of the game, regardless of the control scheme. I think it would be way, way, way better on PC because of that or reason alone. And then the game itself just can get a bit repetitive, and it, if you want something that is more linear, it wouldn't be a good game for you because it is very open. At a point, it just becomes like, here's this very small, not hub world, but this very small open world where you have to figure things out, and how much stuff you collect and complete in the level will help you with this like sort of after the end bit. That's I don't want to get too much into it, but on consoles I'd probably give it a 3 out of 5 because of the controls, and then having not played it and just based on my assumption, I would give it an extra point for mouse and keyboard controls, because I just think in part. Not just it being more fluid and feeling more responsive, it kind of would make more sense with the narrative, and this being this, you're kind of like designing levels and being a part of the design of them, when you're messing around with the menus and all that. So I think, narratively, it would make more sense to be using a mouse and keyboard as well. And then I went back and played some more Rocket Birds 2 Evolution, and I'm almost done with it. It's okay. Visually, it looks sort of like an iPhone game blown up, or like it probably was made with Unity, I don't know. But it's not terrible looking, but it's not great looking. Some of the environments look better than others. I think all of the humor fails. I don't think any of the imitations, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger imitation and stuff like this, where they're imitating other celebrities and stuff, work. I don't think they're funny. They're just kind of really, really forced, and the humor just it doesn't. It's not strong when it comes to humor, and the story itself is not strong. And then the gameplay is serviceable, but there are times when you have to be super accurate and it doesn't feel like you're just kind of like inching away and it's making the game feel a lot slower than I think it should feel. And when you have to change weapons, that just becomes kind of annoying in the menu system. And I mentioned this on another podcast, but you have this ability to use a phone jammer and a mind jammer to take over the control of other of enemy characters, and using that can be every time I use that, it was annoying just because I had to go in the menu and then change one of my weapons to that and then change it back because there was no reason to use it when in combat. But it's okay. It's definitely a game. I'm not sure how much it costs regularly. It's probably around $15, maybe 20. I think it would be a solid 75% off game. So when it's on sale for like $3.75 or $5, it's a decent enough game for that amount. But I think it's not good enough to warrant full price. I did receive a code for it, as I did with all of these games. And then I went back to Fury, which I did mention is currently free for PlayStation Plus members for the month of July. It was, at least I'm guessing all the designs, but they just mentioned, I think, the enemy designs, but were done by the art director or an artist who worked on Afro Samurai, which is not surprising because I was playing it and thinking, hey, this looks like it was made by somebody who thought Afro Samurai was really cool and they wanted to do something like that. I'm not the biggest fan of Afro Samurai. I think the visuals at times look pretty good when they're especially colorful, but at other times they look really kind of overly done. Like it's a Rob Liefeld was just like, let's go overboard. Let's just put as much garbage in here as we can, lacking some much needed subtlety. The story is a jarbled mess, and I couldn't care less about it. And I just think the key component of it, what the game's all about, the combat, these boss battles, it's just not that fun. The mechanics aren't as tight as I think they should be. It wasn't fun to play. That, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Was I having fun playing it? No, I was not having any fun. I beat the first boss after a failed first attempt, and then I'm on the second boss, and I'm like, this is not fun, and these battles are taking longer than I would like. I don't like the way it's set up, and that you have these, you both have health bars, and then these little boxes underneath, and then you're just trickling away at each other's health until you knock out one of those boxes. But whoever loses one of those boxes, they lose it, and then everyone's health bar goes back to normal. So, any progress you make, because you have your health is significantly smaller than your opponent's, and that gets kind of frustrating if you get almost fully depleted your enemy's health, but then you die, or you lose one of those little boxes, then you gotta start from scratch. I don't like that. But yeah, it's kind of a mess, and I would really just say if you have a PlayStation 4, go ahead, and you're a PlayStation Plus member, download it, or just purchase it, quote unquote purchase it, because it's free, so there's no reason not to. But if you're on PC, do not pay full price for it. I don't think. I'm not sure if there's a demo, but I really, really wasn't enjoying it. A lot of people do enjoy it. I just think the mechanics ruin what could potentially be a decent game, and the story just is, there's too much. There's too much of a jumbled mess in there. And then other than that, I haven't really been playing much other than the game I replaced Gems of War with, which is Pure Hold'em on Xbox One. I talked about how I hate the kind of free-to-playness of it, despite not being free-to-play and being a rather expensive game to have such BS free-to-play mechanics in it. But it just reminded me of how much I wish I had friends in real life to play poker, because I love poker so much. I especially love Texas Hold'em. It's just a lot of fun to be able to talk with friends and then bet and just watch each other and try to figure out each other's tells and all that.
I have to say though, I lose my mind playing the game because I get one of the things I hate is when I lose a hand because someone gets a flush on the river when the river shows up the fourth of a certain suit. I lose my mind. I'm like, you only had one of those cards and you got the flush. You would have lost if not for that crap. I just hate that because I look at that, you see four of the same suit in it's just like there are four there. All you need is one more. I don't have one more, so you know that there's a chance my friend who's also betting with me doesn't have one more, and then they have one more, and I lose my mind because I may have a strong hand now, but then it goes down the gutter because they got a stupid card in the river. Damn river. But yeah, I enjoy it. And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Cujinez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Periscope, Vine, Xbox Live, Monomyth, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. That is at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush3. That is the KUSH number 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find all the art I post. You can find this podcast, occasional writings, other podcasts that I take part in and that the site hosts, like the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, but also Pixelated Radio, which I co-host with Rob, Rich, and Corey. Though Rich and Corey haven't been on in like forever now, which makes me all sad. But with all podcasts, this one, that one, and that other one, you can go to iTunes and rate and review and subscribe to them if you haven't already, because that really does help. I know that there are so many ways to listen to podcasts. We have Stitcher Radio, Google Play. You take the RSS feed, dump it wherever you want, Player FM, etc. So many ways. A lot of people don't like iTunes. I'm not the biggest fan of iTunes, but iTunes is still a primary place where people get their podcasts and all that jazz. So if you have it installed and are like, what can I do with this? What you can do is rate, review, and subscribe, because it does help, like I've already said. And like you hear every podcaster everywhere always say, they wouldn't be saying it if it was a lie. The podcasting is not like politics. We're not all crooks, according to everyone. So that will do it for this here episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all are having a great week so far. Staying cool if it's hot by you. Staying safe if the weather's a bit dicey. Hopefully Mr. Lunchbox has his power back on by the time he's hearing this. If he's not, then he should not be wasting the power of his phone or any other thing to listen to this garbage. But yeah, that will do it for this here episode. Everyone, have a great rest of your week and a great rest of the day. Bye bye. Do you like pixelated sausage? Do you like sausage? Do you like pixelation? Do you like it when sausage is pixelated? Do you like this podcast? Do you like Pixelated Radio? Do you like other things that have pixelated and sausage in the name somewhere? Do you like me? Do you like the other people who work at Pixelated Sausage? Do you like the fact that I said work even though no one gets paid? Well, if you do like any of that stuff, you can support the site, the podcast, whatever you want, by chipping in a few bucks every month over at patreon.com/pxs. That is, once again, patreon.com/pxs. A few months, yes, a few months a buck really goes a long way, but a few bucks a month goes an even longer way.